and welcome to another episode of Untrue Crime, where fiction meets felonies. I'm Alex.
And I'm Belle. Today's content includes nothing. There's no content warning.
Or, I don't know, let me think.
We can always... Oh! Oh my god. Chat, she just put child arrests on the sheet. Today's episode includes content warnings for child arrests.
This is your fair warning that this podcast uses explicit language before someone walks in at the wrong time. As a last warning, today's episode includes child arrests. Let's get this started, shall we?
We shall. Let's go arrest some children.
Today, dear listeners, we are going to be talking about one of the most famous crimes and trials ever held in the United Kingdom. Guy Fawkes who? Jacobite lords what? Trial King Charles I? Never heard of it. Not compared to this. No. This crime is bigger and will stick in the minds of the British public far longer than any of that nonsense. Why? Because this crime led to one of the most large-scale arrests and convictions in recent memory. Our story begins in London on a very special day, one unlike any other seen that year.
I see that you've used grey with an E.
I do that.
You're converting.
No.
I also do that.
I like it better with an E, honestly.
I also like it better with an E, and it sounds better. I don't know. Grey.
Our story begins in London on a very special day, one unlike any other seen that year. In this version of our world...
It was sunny.
It was!
Oh my god, really?
Yes.
I was like, that's the title.
In this version of our world, November 2023 had been a dreary month. Honestly, it had been a dreary year. One might go so far as to say it had been a dreary lifetime. London's notoriously grey sky had been drizzling non-stop for days. It was all fog, clouds, and winds, and anyone with common sense was rushing to Boots to pick up some vitamin D supplements, or already had some on hand, or, in true British fashion, simply suffered. This was a particularly rainy year, to be fair, and everyone was just kind of over it. And come on, generally there's at least a little bit of partial sun. The wet had just kind of seeped into everything at this point, more so than usual, and it was unusually cold for this time of year. In mid-November, you can count on London to be somewhere between 10 degrees Celsius, 50 degrees Fahrenheit, more often than not. This November, it had been around 3 degrees Celsius and 37 degrees Fahrenheit. No one was happy with the drop in temperature aside from, perhaps, the gas energy companies. The average citizen certainly wasn't. They were just trying to wait it out. There was a change, though, on Sunday, November 12th. After months of the same old, there was a ray of sunshine. Literally. Around that morning, the clouds parted and the sun came out. It had already been warmer that day, and now, with the sun shining, it was beautiful outside. It was like a miracle. One may not have been inclined to break out a bikini, but it was a vast improvement, and the timing was great for a lot of children who were free of school for the weekend had time to fill.
I have never been inclined to break out in a bikini.
Okay. And that's your choice.
It is.
You can choose whatever you want to wear, and you don't have to wear anything that makes you uncomfortable.
My swimming costume is non-traditional. But my swimwear... Don't ever talk to me about my swimwear.
Is your swimwear like an oversized t-shirt and some spandex shorts?
No, I wear shorts made to be shorts. They are bathing suits. Oh, okay. It's just not a bikini. It's just...
Listen, if you find an American in a hot tub in Branson, Missouri, they might be wearing just a t-shirt and shorts. So, no. If that was what you...
Yeah, no, mine is like a crop top and shorts.
Okay.
But it's like an actual bathing suit material. It was at Target.
Target. You don't even like the beach. You prefer pools to the beach.
I like saltwater pools.
Yeah. Kids all over the city were thrilled for a chance to play outside without wishing they'd never been born, and many of them raced to the 350-acre, centrally located Hyde Park. Often accompanied by parents, whether by foot, jumping over leftover puddles, or by scrambling onto the Piccadilly or Central line, buzzing with excitement. In the park, people were soaking up the sun, smiling for the first time in ages, and generally enjoying themselves. Elderly couples strolled by the water, people with a moment to spare tilted their head to feel the warmth on their skin, and the children gathered in clumps. Children had brought kites with them to the park. They're a classic pastime, after all, and what better day to do it? Furthermore, they had no idea when it would be nice enough again to do it, so this was a moment that they felt they had to seize.
The Netherlands does not do as many kites as we do, and it's so shocking to me because they're known for being windy. We have national weather warnings all the time about the wind.
Otis George, a man from the suburbs outside the city, happened to be in the park that day with his grandson. He had long since retired, and in his spare time, he made kites. It was a passion of his. He made them all by hand in his shed-turned-workshop that hosted his tools for assembling the frames and then painting lovely designs onto their covers. George had made hundreds of kites in his lifetime, and on this particular day, he had taken 4 or 5 with him to play in the park with his grandson, who liked to switch between them so that he could use the ones with different colors and different patterns. As George stood with his grandchild, other kids soon became curious about the marvelous kites that the two had. They were beautifully crafted, each as eye-catching as the next, the kind of creations that dazzled adults and children alike. They clamored about, all wanting a chance to fly one. George and his grandson let the other kids borrow the ones they had, but soon more wanted to join in the fun and give it a go, so George decided to go back and get some more kites. Some would get damaged, some wouldn't be returned, but that was all right. He had plenty, and he was simply happy that he was going to get to share them with a whole host of children and parents. George returned heavy laden with kites and began passing them out. He'd taken all of the ones in his shed and most of the supply from the garage, too. London traffic was hell, but his Volkswagen was worth it this time around because he had to take multiple trips back and forth from his house to the park to get them all there.
You're very brave for putting Volkswagen in this episode.
Am I?
Yeah.
Why?
Down here in the Germanic countries, people get really mad about how Volkswagen is pronounced.
Volkswagen.
Yeah, it is. And they will get like genuinely upset with you.
Well, I am not in a Germanic country.
I'm afraid of them.
London traffic was hell, but his Volkswagen, or Volkswagen if you prefer, was worth it this time around because he had to take multiple trips back and forth from his house to the park to get them all there.
I know I just said this to you, but it's really impressive how you managed to do the other pronunciation in a perfect American accent.
Listen.
No, it's great. I love it.
I'm really good at an American accent.
Me too.
One could say it comes naturally to me. How would you say it? Germany.
Don't ask me.
Volkswagen.
Oh, no. I'll ask my wife to pronounce it for me, and I'll let you know, but it'll take 2 to 3 business days, because I'm really busy tomorrow.
London traffic was hell, but his Volkswagen was worth it this time around, because he had to take multiple trips back and forth from his house to the park to get them all there. It wasn't just children who wanted to fly one. Parents wanted to connect with their kids by doing something they hadn't done since they were small. Couples wanted to send pretty images soaring together. Elderly people wanted to admire his work and reminisce with the kite string in their hands. Soon, he'd pass out kites at multiple points around Hyde Park, all of which his grandson had tons of fun participating in, and they ran out around midday, so they went back to Plan A, simply flying kites together. Now, this may shock you to hear, because he seemed so nice. But George's actions that day actually led to a massive crime bonanza. Sure, he claims it was unknowingly, but that's doubtful, and the consequences of the decisions he made were severe. The Metropolitan Police Act of 1839, Section 54, dictates that in a public place within their jurisdiction, quote, every person who shall fly any kite or play any game to the annoyance of the inhabitants or passengers, or who shall make or use any slide upon ice or snow in any street or other thoroughfare to the common dangers of the passengers, is liable for up to a level 2 penalty on the standard scale.
Okay.
It's a true law.
Awesome.
That is a real law. Please look it up. I spent time genuinely looking at the law, like the law.
I don't doubt you. I truly do not.
A call had been made to the police about the disturbance that had been occurring at Hyde Park. There were, after all, lots of people flying kites in a public space within the Metropolitan Police's jurisdiction. Seeing the grave threat this posed, they immediately dispatched officers to the scene. It was overwhelming. Police had never seen so many criminals in one place at one time, except maybe in a prison. The worst part of it all, they didn't seem to care one bit that they were breaking the law. They weren't even trying to hide the fact that they were flying kites to the annoyance of one woman. This couldn't go on. Something had to be done. However, the police knew that they were outnumbered. If they wanted a fighting chance at taking down this crime ring, they had to strategize. They stepped aside to formulate a plan.
This is awful. In the best way.
Thank you. I was in charge of the humor episode this season. And surprisingly, it's not the hippo one. This is our official humor episode. Many plans were pitched and few seemed feasible. How in the world would they manage to arrest all of those children and also some adults? There were so many of them. Surely, once they began arresting some, the others would run, not facing justice.
And also some adults is my exact writing style, and I'm happy that you picked up on where I use and also, because I use that a lot to indicate humor.
We really are the same person, fuck.
Yeah.
It was decided then that to protect the rest of London, they needed to call in more cops, so they did just that. Soon, it was like every cop in London was there, and they surrounded the perimeter, which was 4.8 kilometers long, which is equal to 3 miles. Cars were lined up on the street, riot barriers were set up, and the police bravely decided it was time.
British viewers, I'm going to need you to accept this as a joke. Please do not bring out the school shooter jokes. Remember that these people are talking in a London accent to each other.
Oh, blimey.
Hey, there's a lot of children in there.
I don't quite know what to do here.
Flying fucking kites.
Knackers. These bloody scoundrels.
Mate, how are we going to handle this?
What are we going to do?
Fuck. I hate kites. When children are happy, it ruins something in me.
It really ruins the scenery of London, doesn't it? No one should smile.
They clearly are not locals. And it really shows. Because if they were locals, they would know of... I'm trying to find it.
The Metropolitan Police Act of 1839.
Yeah, okay, there we go. If they were locals, they would know of the Metropolitan Police Act of 1839, Section 54, that dictates that in a public space within their jurisdiction, and I quote, every person who shall fly any kite will play any at any game to the annoyance of the inhabitants or passengers who shall make use or slide upon ice or snow in any street or other thoroughfare to the common danger of the passengers, end quote, is liable for up to a level 2 penalty on the standard scale.
Because here in London, we pride ourselves on being the most miserable people on the planet. We like to talk about how miserable we are, and we like to talk about how we keep a stiff upper lip and soldier on when things are difficult. Like, for instance, when it rains.
It doesn't rain anywhere else, you see.
We're very brave.
We are very brave, because you know what? You know what it really is? Nowhere else experiences rain.
Nowhere else.
These Americans, they come from this place called Seattle, and I don't know what they're on about. They say that they have something similar, but I'm switching accents all over the place.
You are, it's fun. Nowhere else do they understand what rain is. It's not as if the rainiest place on Earth is actually in India, when we colonized and brutally oppressed and purposely starved. Okay. Once again, we're very sorry to our British listeners. It's just, it's really fun for us. And we don't actually hate you.
We don't. I have family that lives in London.
We actually like you. We especially like that you listen to such a good podcast.
And we would like you to continue doing that.
It's just really funny to imagine Dick Van Dyke having to figure out how to arrest these children.
Sorry, I've never heard the name Dick Van Dyke ever before, and that's...
He's the guy who plays the sweeper in Mary Poppins, where he's like, step in time!
I've never seen Mary Poppins.
What?
Is no one gonna make fun of the name Dick of Dyke?
They do.
Yeah, Dick. of dyke. Dick of lesbians.
Okay. Shockingly, the arrests were not violent as they had expected. For some reason, most people seemed very surprised when they were taken into custody. However, they did hit one snag. They ran out of handcuffs. First, they ran out of rigid handcuffs, so they had to go to their backup chain handcuffs. Then, when they were out of those, plastic restraints were used. These were a bit easier to fit onto the children. By the end of the sweep, they'd found most of the kite flyers and began taking them in. Some escaped, but kites were kept for evidence as they could have fingerprints on them and they were sent to the lab to be analyzed. The jails were stuffed full of criminals, and it took a long time to process them. The process was shortened, however, by many of the detained declining their initial phone call, citing that they did not remember their mom's phone number. Once they were all processed, there had been about 400 arrests. It was truly a sickening sight for those police officers. Entire families had united to commit these crimes. Debate ensued amongst the prosecutor's office about how such a thing should be tried, as family crime often had mafia ties. This notion was dismissed, though, after much deliberation, as mafia crimes often are a pattern. This was simply a spur-of-the-moment rebellion on behalf of the population. A breakdown of law and order, you might even say.
Some might say that.
When news hit the press the next day, people were shocked and appalled. Londoners everywhere wondered what kind of person would take part in mass crime on such a lovely day. Here are some of the quotes from the locals, as reported in various London newspapers that shall not be named. Honestly, it was a sign of everything that's wrong with this world and this generation. If these kids are the future of England, we all have a lot to pray for. Sarah Babcock, 34. The sun comes out once and everyone goes mental. You'd think they'd just want to enjoy it, wouldn't you? Get outside and soak it up. I can't imagine wasting a day like yesterday in jail. Jerry Hartfield, 40. I've been reading about how violent video games cause children to lash out. This has to be that. When I was a Wayne, there were no video games and we played outside. Now these kids are playing video games all day and they're breaking the law. Can't be a coincidence. Jude Lee, 68. I'm glad I was at church with my mum. Who knows what peer pressure I might have felt if I were at Hyde Park that day. I'm glad I wasn't around them. Hannah May, 9. It really puts a perspective on things. This is why schools are so important. It keeps kids off the streets and from engaging in behaviors such as these. Marissa Wong, 23. Londoners were not just baffled, but scared. The idea that so many offenders had been right under their noses and that something like that could happen right in central London was terrifying. What was next? Mass muggings? Domestic terrorism? Sliding upon ice or snow in any street or other thoroughfare to the common danger of the passengers? It was too much for many to wrap their heads around. Thankfully, the police upped their presence to assure the people. Knife crime did rise, but not in parks, where they made damn sure there were no kites in the air, as is their sworn duty in upholding the law. It was good to know that they were behind bars, but the possibility of some kite flyers still being out there was very real, and London had not forgotten. The thing about criminals is they can look like anyone. Your neighbor, your boss, your barista, your cab driver, your friend, or even your family member could be someone who has flown a kite in public to the annoyance of an inhabitant within the jurisdiction of the Metropolitan Police Service. London knew this too. People kept a close eye on one another, but it took time before the police were sure they'd rounded up everyone who'd try to flee the scene. However, many paid bail, which unsettled the public. Protests began in the city over bail being posted for these individuals, but didn't do a lot of good. England could only hope the courts would hold up in punishing these people properly. Trials began in March, and they were well reported on. Members of the public, brave enough to enter a courtroom with these deranged individuals, attended in droves to see what would happen. It felt like the nation was biting its nails, holding its breath. Defense attorneys struggled with their cases more often than not, but some did make good points. Nevertheless, it was clear what transpired, and many pled guilty, hoping to get off easier anyway. This law made offenders liable for up to a level 2 penalty on the standard scale, which is a £500 fee.
£500?
500 pounds, that would be, like, even more U.S. dollars. My mother told me what the exchange rate is today, because she tells me every time I talk to her, but I don't remember what it was.
I don't need to hear it. I don't need to hear it.
Unfortunately, as we speak currently, the Great British Pound does hold more value than the dollar, the U.S. dollar, at least.
Well, I'm in euro, so, euro it.
Yeah, it's also not good against the euro.
It's not. It's closer, though. We live in Europe.
Temporarily for me, but...
You live in Europe, though.
I live in Europe.
Or for all of our British folk, I live in Europe, and she lives in this mystery third location that is not a continent.
They just call it the continent, because it's, like, on the continental mass.
It's in Europe.
That one does make sense. There are a lot of British words that don't make sense, like candy floss. The continent does make sense.
No, I like that. It's kind of cute.
No, it's not. It's not floss.
It's not, but it makes me think of floss.
You like thinking about floss?
No, but I like the idea of, like, strings of, like, candy.
Prosecutors called for judges to enforce the law to the fullest extent, and most did. It was worrying, of course, to reintroduce these people back into the general populace. It was done with the hope that they had learned their lesson and would be reformed members of society. For many of the children, this did seem possible. After all, they had a life ahead of them to change during. Many of the adults, however, may have been too far gone, and who's to say how sincere their televised apologies really were? Londoners knew to look out for certain faces, such as the blonde woman who flew not one, but two kites in Hyde Park. People like that, they knew, could never be redeemed.
She was faking a like social media story to make her ex-boyfriend of a month jealous by trying to make it look like she was flying kites with another guy. But he actually wasn't a heathenistic scoundrel, so he knew that that was illegal.
He knew that that was illegal under the Metropolitan Police Act of 1839, Section 54.
Yeah, and it actually just reassured him that it was right to break up with her.
She was not the one.
God's timing is always right, as they say.
One trial was delayed significantly, though. Otis George, who had made the items used to carry out the crime and distributed them, stayed in jail much longer while the police looked to further evidence of his wrongdoings. His dedication to the creation and dispersal of kites, as well as his ability to persuade children to break the law, raised many red flags. The police and the public were sure it was part of an organized crime operation. Sad to say, though, there has been little progress made on Otis George's case. Not much evidence has turned up that can expose him for being a criminal mastermind. His trial is now rapidly approaching. The outcome is uncertain. Sure, there are the clear facts, but not enough to show his concrete ties to the world of organized crime. Therefore, he is not likely to serve a long prison sentence, if at all. Negotiations between George and the prosecution are ongoing, but if there are any updates in the case, we promise to bring them directly to you. Since what has been dubbed the kite case, kite crimes have steadily decreased. That doesn't mean anyone should slack off, though. It's very important that people remain vigilant. As stated earlier, anyone could be a kite criminal, and it is regular people who do the most for preventing all-out anarchy by reporting people with kites. Remember, if you see something, say something. It could very well mean the difference between kites and no kites in public spaces. Police have also since set up a tip line where you can submit any information that you have about the kite case or other cases like it. If anyone has any information on this, you are urged to give them a call or send a message. It can be completely anonymous, but for the sake of the city, remember that it is there.
That was awful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's truly horrifying.
That's all for today. Thanks for listening. Send in your thoughts, theories, questions, and comments to Untrue Crime the Podcast, all lowercase, for a chance to be featured at the end of the season during our Q&A. Bye!
Go fly a kite. Have a good day.
Not in the Metropolitan Police's jurisdiction.
If you're in America, you know what you have? Rights to fly a kite. Bye.